What up, bro?
What up?
What up, Unc? So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, welcome back to the mouth. I know it's been a while, but I got a special guest today, my Unc. I met this dude when I was in college. I had tremendous amount of fun times with Unc. Unc's, we call him Unc because he's so old. Unc, when did you start college, bro? You like 50?
Yeah, it was close. It was like, close to 30, stuff like that, hanging out with my boys that were young bucks.
Yes, sir. Well, hey, one thing is, Unc, you always had you provided guidance, but today I wanted to talk a little bit about the episode. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the, why you were a little bit late for college. It wasn't like you were partying, but you were partying with a purpose, I should say. And you got some T Woods stories, so I want to get to a little bit of that, and then want to talk about the NBA Finals. We are recording this on Sunday. If you're watching right now, 9 o'clock at night. You can see Toronto just trying to lose the damn series. Now they got a 4-point lead right now with a minute to go, but they'll probably blow that. Talk a little bit about the Warriors, and everyone's talking about are they or are they not better than KD? And we're gonna break that down a little, and then just the failure to suck with the Bulls, right? Just falling to the seventh pick, kind of what their options are. I think the public's talked about that a little bit, but we'll get into that. But anyways. Unc, obviously you were a little bit late for college, but you had a purpose and you were playing a little game they call golf. Those that don't know, the PGA championship was today. Brooks won it 2 times in a row. So why don't you talk a little bit about that, where you were and how that went, and then I'll get into a little bit of the questions, brother.
Sure, yeah. Down in Orlando, Florida, I was at Isleworth Country Club pursuing playing different mini tours, teaching golf in Orlando. So back really in the heyday when Tiger Woods was becoming of what we know of him today. So yeah, just as a journeyman trying to play golf, if you don't come from money, right, or have those types of backings from entrepreneurs or companies, right? There's just a lot of us out there that were trying to make it. Really kind of like Brooks Koepka's story of where he came from. But in those experiences, yeah, a lot of great opportunities to be around some great players in late 90s, early 2000s, especially when Tiger was at his peak.
Yeah, and to take a step back, for those that don't know, right? A lot of people don't know how people get really. They think you just got to be good at golf and you'll get exposed, and then you'll be able to get on tour. But it's not like that, right? So why don't you give a little bit of insight for all the listeners of like what you're meaning by having people that back you? Why do you need people to back you? What's the purpose behind that? People don't know that.
Sure. Well, like back then, especially at the country club where I was at, it was predominantly obviously wealthy people. Tiger Woods lived there, Shaquille O'Neal. This was a gated community in Orlando. And so, with a lot of different, say, CEOs of companies or financial people that could provide you money while you were pursuing playing golf, if that could have been in Europe or just in the US, chasing Monday qualifiers or mini tours. There's quite a few expenses when you're just making $10 an hour at a golf course, right? To use that facility to practice and play out of and really connect with those people. And so today, right, it's a different era, right, in regards to the money that's involved to get there. But it's still the same difficulty of trying to get to that stage where you can make money, because if you made some money in a tournament, it was just barely to survive to play into your next event, because there's obviously a fee to play. And then again, your travel expenses.
Yeah, I think a lot of the public forget that there's actually sponsors paying for these guys to go in some of these tournaments, and just even the qualifier. The qualifier, what that means, ladies and gentlemen, so the big old tournament would start on Thursday, right? You got the pro-am usually on Wednesday or Tuesday, depending on the amount of sponsorships and how they're breaking it. You obviously have to play Monday if you're not, one of the top 100 players or haven't won that tournament previous. Whatnot, right? So, there is money that has to go into that. And obviously, there's a multitude of different ways to get in tournaments. But yeah, that's pretty cool. So, Speaking of Tiger, I mean, obviously everybody's talking about Tiger. And speaking of the Milwaukee Toronto game, like I said less than 2 minutes ago, that Toronto would mess around and screw this up. The game's tied with 14 seconds to go, 103-103. But why don't you tell us, like, the first time you kind of you realized Tiger was there, interacted with him, and then the scandal hit. We don't really have to go too deep in that, but it's kind of funny because I remember back in the day when we used to hang out. It was way before the scandal, but you used to tell us a couple Tiger Woods stories, just in regards to maybe one of the dancers. So if you want to talk a little bit about your first interaction, or how what your perception of Tiger was, right? Was he like this, big guy with a huge, just pulled chicks all the time, or was he kind of like a Stanford nerd, like most a lot of people that before he got caught in the scandal thought he was? So why don't you give us a background about that?
Yeah, sure. Like my interactions with Tiger really was there at Isleworth, either, meeting him on the driving range, or they also had like a men's grill there at the clubhouse that was obviously strictly for men only. And, those first interactions with Tiger, it was almost kind of, is it super real, official, right? Like to where, he's around the public eye so much, and you, right, being at his age at that time, looking upon somebody that was really transcending the world with golf. Was this dude like really human, right? But like I was comfortable being around him in normal conversations. You would really kind of try to talk to him outside of golf, right? Because everything in his life revolved around that. But just, hey, how could I connect with this dude on a different level, right? Just about sports in general outside of golf. But Tiger definitely was, you could tell he was definitely a sheltered kid. I mean, the guy was obviously a prodigy in golf. He was trained that way, as people know his story with his dad. And so you could definitely tell that there was like, he would used to drive around in a golf cart with neon lights on the bottom, listening to Jock Jams. And like me and my guys would be like, there's no way this dude's pulling girls unless, that he was who he was in golf and the amount of money that he had, because there was definitely that nerdy intellectual side of him, which is okay, right? There's a lot of guys that are like that pull good looking girls.
Saving money on
But
cigarettes, crazy simple. Even when my new
Jock
business.
Jams, dog? He was pulling Jock Jams?
Yeah, he was pulling some
Like
Jock
this?
Jams.
Like
Oh
this?
yeah. Oh yeah. You
My man
know
was
it.
Jock jamming it? My
Dude,
man, dog.
he was rolling down in that car.
So
I
he
was like,
had
yo.
neon lights. What was the point of the neon lights? Was it all pimped out? Did it say T
Yeah,
Woods on it? Like what?
he had some like pimped out stuff on the bottom with some speakers in the back, because Shaquille down there, he had like, I can't remember if it was like a PlayStation or a Nintendo in his big golf cart and stuff for his kids to ride around with. So yeah, he was definitely trying to live it up a little bit, because right out of the country club, you're in your early 20s. Everyone out there is mostly old and white and rich. So he was definitely trying to stand out a little bit differently than what the persona was there. But regards to Tiger and the ladies, there was definitely every country club, a lot of times they have hostesses. There was a girl that worked up the front desk, and she used to be a dancer. There's a lot of strip clubs in Orlando, and she worked the front desk, and she was a dancer. And she was one of those girls that, great body, but hey, in the face though, she could have done better, right? But Tiger back in the day used to, holler at this girl. We used to be on the driving range at Isleworth, and it was away from the clubhouse. And we used to be back there hitting balls, and his house was back there, definitely during the scandal. And remember him wrecking his vehicle and his wife at that time coming out there. But this worker, or the girl that used to work there, she used to drive down in her little Honda, and we'd watch her come down, and Tiger have that garage pop open, and she'd slide in there around 3:30, a few times, door closed, and she knew what was going on, because we used to see her all the time. But she was really like quiet about it, and then after time, next thing she'd be driving down with some new fancy little rims on it. But in that time, like, yo, Tiger won those four majors in a row, not in the calendar season, but four in a row. And, once he kind of more or less stopped talking to this girl, like, he didn't win those four. So we always used to clown, like, man, he needed to stay with that girl to win. But he never went like exclusive with this girl, like publicly right out there. It was just, some girl that he knew that he could get away with inside where he lived at. So, yeah, she was definitely It was a unique story. One other quick story about that made it so funny was once her and Tiger were done, she was dating some other guy, and we were up at the clubhouse, and at this time Tiger Woods had like a book out how to play golf, and we're sitting there in the clubhouse, me and buddies, and she comes in with her family and her guy, and like they're just looking around. Next thing you know, the guy's got this Tiger Woods book looking at her, and like we're like, oh my God, is like, does he know that like she used to hook up with Tiger? And he's just flipping through the book, and we're just like laughing inside until they left the pro shop so we could really laugh out loud. But she knew everything. But that girl, hey, she gave me a lap dance at the Christmas party. She kissed up on me one time or whatever. I was like, yo, I got me some of Tiger Woods' entourage. But yeah, Tiger was out there doing his thing back in those days.
So you were real close, but you couldn't close the deal. You could have been Eskimo brothers with Tiger Woods, you're telling us.
You know, maybe, but, you know, I don't know, man. Sometimes some of those baggage goods, you know, you get to a strip club, you don't mess with them strippers too much.
Yeah, well, I mean, just imagine if you knew Tiger's real hoolie Tiger was. He loves Molly, strippers, and all the young ladies. You and Tiger could have probably been best friends back in the day before you came to college. You guys could have been best buddy. You could have been his caddy, dog.
Well, we both got big teeth and lips, so I used to be able to talk a little conversation with him on that about getting the teeth work done.
That is true. You know, the funny thing is, this was all before the scandal. This is before his wife. So just so everyone knows, this wasn't like he was cheating on his wife at the time. He just had a little girlfriend that he couldn't keep. Was his dad around still back then, or was his dad already passed?
I met his dad one time. He came out there to the club. At that time, he was under the weather, but I don't think he was to the point where, you know, he started getting ill. But yeah, I did meet Earl Woods one time.
Okay, cool. Any other stories you want to share, or just like, you know, the Tigerisms or anything like that the public might not know?
I think, you know, one real cool thing about Tiger Woods, he was very down to earth. There was a story where, again, as myself trying to play golf aspirational, there was another kid down there. His name was Andrew Johnson from Indiana. And Andrew was married and was putting his whole life on the line to make it playing golf. And at that time, he was playing in Canada, and the Ryder Cup had just finished, and Tiger came down to the clubhouse looking for some golf balls, and Andy was tied for second going into the final round. And I remember Tiger coming in, and I go to Tiger, hey, Tiger, I go, Andy right now is in second place in Canada today, you know, whatever he's currently playing. And Tiger Woods, right at that time, he's the number one player in the world, and he looks at me, and he goes, that's awesome. He goes, Andy wants to be the number one player in the world. And so it was pretty cool to see somebody who was the number one player in the world and seeing, you know, a kid out there chasing his dream and putting the effort into it, and Tiger just acknowledging it. I mean, it was real, right? It wasn't like some fake persona of what he was saying.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. No, that's pretty cool, man. I just wanted you to share that. Obviously, today could have been an epic meltdown by Brooks, but he was able to keep it. I mean, it just looked horrible out there. The wind, 13. Now I'm switching gears a little bit, talk about the PGA Championship, just because they were showing a lot about Tiger. I mean, I think, you know, any golf fan would say this. The ratings would have been significantly higher had Tiger been able to make the cut, been able to play the next couple of days. But it's good to see him back. I knew those stories from back in the day from us hanging out, so it was always kind of fun. I wanted to give the public a little bit better chance. I mean, it's not every day that you know a guy that walked in the presence and hung out and seen the funny-ass stories that you did. I remember before the scandal knowing about the garage going up and down, so it was kind of funny when all that went down at that same location. But I want to switch gears. Do appreciate you filling that. You're still pretty good at golf, aren't you?
Yeah. I got back playing in here in the last few years. So you need to come down and visit so we can go play.
Yeah. And we do call Unc, even though he's an old bastard, he is like 41, same age as Tiger. I think, what are you, like 7% body fat, still killing dudes on the basketball court, still killing them in the golf game. And this is true story. So that's why we call Unc. And he's got a full head of hair. For those that don't know, my hairline is receding quickly. So I got to call that Brian Urlacher doctor and say, what's up, bro? Hook a brother up. But, you know, one thing is, you know, you've always been crushing the game from a basketball sense, at least since I've known you. I know you're watching the NBA playoffs. Just so everyone knows, I'm going to keep you updated. Overtime two, Toronto's up by three, and big man from Milwaukee, he fouled out. And we're not talking about Robert Lopez. So the NBA Finals, I mean, KD goes down. Obviously, so we're going to talk about Golden State because first and foremost, everybody with their brain knows they're the favorite to win it all. But I will say a couple weeks, you know, maybe even 7 to 10 days ago, people were worried, oh, wow, are they going to lose to, you know, are they going to lose to Houston? KD goes down, you know, they're in trouble, right? It's what, 2-2 when he gets hurt, right? I mean, he got hurt in the game, 2-2. Everyone kind of was like, oh, is Golden State really here? Are they going to be able to pull this off? They're losing two marquee all-stars. And, you know, we talked about this before. I mean, what are your thoughts? What have you seen since game six in Houston? Or game five, really. Sorry, game five.
Sure. Obviously, the Golden State Warriors are a better team, right, with KD, especially in moments where they need to get a bucket or he can get to the free throw. You know, and he's a great defender as well to guard guys like James Harden. And so I think, you know, in the grand schemes of things, I mean, the ball's just moved a little bit quicker and faster through reversals. More guys are getting touches that causes the, you know, the opposing team to play defenses. A lot of guys cutting to the basket, as we've seen last night in the game. Draymond was a beast. And so, again, just like any team that's got a ball-dominant player, and I don't want to say KD is, but the ball is predominantly in his hand. And when it is, a lot of guys kind of stand and watch around. And so I just feel that, you know, Golden State's found a rhythm. They played well and succeeded. I mean, if it didn't, they wouldn't have the W's like they're doing right now in the playoffs. I mean, we're talking, what, five straight wins?
Yeah, and you know, another thing is people got to realize is if you broke it down, right, KD's top two in the league if he's not number one. I mean, I don't have time to argue about that, but he's a phenomenal player. Simple facts. KD's, you know, going to be a Hall of Famer, very, very good. However, I think their offense becomes more predictable. So if you watch Golden State in the last five, I mean, this will be their fifth. When they make the finals, they're already winning 3-0 in the series. This will be their fifth time in the finals. You'll see they move the ball quicker than most teams ever do, right? So you want to talk about, you know, different things that are happening. But Clay, and I mean, you know, one thing is Steph Curry goes from Stephen to Chef Curry. I mean, he's Stephen with KD on the court. And then I call him Chef Curry when KD's off, because you can look at the facts. It's simple. They're averaging like 32 more or 34 more passes per game. And they went from, you know, playing with like, what, seven people. If you look on the Houston series, and I know that every series changes who's going to play, but even from game six till now, or game five, six, seven, there's been people playing a lot more. So, I mean, I think it just gives them a little bit more of like a team atmosphere. And also I think that Golden State with KD was kind of like complacent, or just like, I mean, what do you think? They were, I don't know if they were bored, but like in against Houston, they were just like, okay, we've done this, you know, this is our fifth run. You know, what did you think? And I felt like they got pissed off when KD went down and the whole public was like, oh, this is Houston's opportunity. Oh, this is James Harden's opportunity. Chris Paul, they're going to take over. They're going to beat the Warriors. No time like this. And I mean, Steph stepped up. I mean, finally Clay has proven, you know, he was in a shooting slump for a while, but he came back, started shooting lights out like he's notorious. I mean, and then Draymond Green looks like a new dude. He looks like a dude that just, you know, it was like he was going through a bad breakup. And then he just suddenly got, you know, his mind right, because he's been a way different player. And I think a lot to do with that is what you were just talking about with the ball dominance, or with the ball in KD's hands, right? KD does control that ball. That slows down. If you watch game three last night, it's fast paced. Draymond grabs that ball. So instead of just passing it to KD right after that rebound, he's grabbing that and he's pushing it. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I think back to the original, with KD and in the public eye or the view of other fans, obviously the year they go and OKC is looking ready to knock off, right? Golden State, I can't remember if that series was 3-1 or whatever it was, and Golden State comes back and wins, right? Gets beat in the finals against Cleveland. But, when somebody comes from a team like that where they're almost to the bridge to break you and then you leave and go to the team, I mean, I think people at that moment, right, just kind of the sellout mentality, right? You're going to a winner like that when you're that close to beat a winner. And so over the last few years, right, I think everyone's lost that stigma of, right, yeah, KD's matured really probably to one of the best players, if not the best player in the league. And then so now that overshadows, what was the dominance, right, of the Warriors and the maturity of what they became. Right. You watch Clay mature. You watch Steph mature. I mean, these guys weren't just coming into the league and saying, hey, they were going to be dominant players like a KD. Those guys worked their butt off in the gym, became, players that were able to execute, and gain confidence. And so, leading up now, I think it's the best thing they did because, hey, guys that are in the NBA that are on the bench, these guys can play now. They were able to get exposed bench players, and it builds confidence. When they get into the finals, if they're playing the Bucks, which would seem like they're going to be, the bench is going to have to step up, and this is the best thing that's happened to build them confidence. So, I mean, we'll see going forward when KD comes back what that pace of play will be like and how they play going forward, if they still play as well or if they don't. Time will tell, though.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm just watching this Toronto game, and I feel bad for Leonard. He's leaving Toronto as quick as he can, and none of his supporting cast can fucking hit a shot.
But you know what? With Leonard, my thing with Leonard is he's heavy-footed. He can't dribble. He has no real type of smooth hesitation moves, right? He's big and strong, and tries to kind of run over to get to the basket. Like, I don't know. It's just – he's not very smooth, I guess, right? Like, look how he dribbles.
Yeah. Well, he just dribbled right past the little point guard.
Yeah.
Malcolm from Virginia. So he's doing okay. They're up by four now. So keep talking shit about him. He might drop six more points.
I'm just biased because I like guys that got a little bit of hesitation, a little bit of rhythm in his game. And it's just kind of.
Yeah, you don't need to describe me to the public. They already know I'm killing folks with quickness. But look at this. Look at this. So you got for next year, right? I don't even care. I'm glad. I can't wait for Kyrie. I can't wait for KD. Go somewhere. Go to New York and get your ass kicked and pay 51% taxes and get taxed the shit out of it. So you're making like $14 million, which is 14 more than I am. I don't really care. I can't wait for them to move because watching Golden State, they're so much more entertaining as a unit like they are now, right? I love watching them play right now. They swing the ball faster. And like I was telling you earlier, is they kind of run like a Steve Kerr. You got to realize he came from the triangle offense. But if you watch that game last night, they got cutters coming in the middle and swinging the ball out. I mean, they're cutting. They're not even stopping. They're not waiting for guys to just, post up. They're literally getting the ball and pushing it out. They're pushing it in, out, and it's going so quickly that the defense has to move that much quicker. So it's not like, they're like, hey, Steph still has contested shots. Yeah, he's contested shots, but he's got like 1 foot of space, which is one more foot than he needs, right? And so you got that. And really, with KD leaving next year, they're going to have $31,000. What are you doing right now? Are you smacking yourself in the face?
No, that's my ankle snapping.
Bro, stop smacking your ankle. It's really weird. The public probably think you're smacking something else, you weirdo. Anyways, so KD is going to have 31 off. And then you got Clay. Obviously, he's you just give him the max contract. Then you got Draymond. You got Andre. You got Sean. Cousins is off the books. They pretty much only have like what they got paid this guy, Jacob Evans, Quentin Cook, which is actually a team offer, I believe. They're playing Dame. I mean, they pretty much, what I'm getting at is their payroll goes down to, like $90 million, is what I'm getting at. $90 million, not too bad. A little bit less than $90 million. So they'll be able to get, if they want, another max player. So KD leaves. That doesn't mean someone else doesn't want to win a championship, right? And then another thing is they can get that bench, like you stated. I mean, people are forgetting. And people are saying this, oh, are the Lakers going to get this? Why the hell would you go to the Lakers when you can go to Golden State?
Exactly. Why go play with LeBron James, who's 34 years old and washed up?
And he's crabby all the time. And his coach, I mean, LeBron's a phenomenal athlete, but there's a reason why I don't want to play with him. So I'm just saying, like, people forget, like, who cares about, I mean, I'm KD leaving. I just feel like, guys, people got to realize someone's going to come. So what I'm getting at is, okay, now that we have that, understand what, stop smacking your ankle, because it's weird. Just to hold off for 5 minutes. We're still on the podcast. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. He's really touching his ankle. He's a weird bastard. He's 41. His ankles are so old. They look like my hairline.
That's what happens with sprained ankles.
Yeah, bro. Maybe you should put some ice on it. So look at this. Okay, so you got Clay. He's going to sign. So that's one thing, is you got to put like $30 million on that. So that's going to do that. But they should have a little bit more money, right? So you got Clay is not on the books for next year, but we'll just give him the $31 million. We'll just give him $31 million. Okay, so Clay is making that, so they go up to like 151. So I guess they're going to drop a couple guys, but they're going to be able to, you know, they maybe renegotiate a couple contracts. But I'm just saying, like, they might be able to, get a guy for $15 million. $20 million, take a pay cut and go play with him. So, I mean, people got to realize that. I just think Golden State is way better off. I think KD is a great person, or not great person, great player. And, you know, he's done a lot. They're going to win their third championship, I believe, as long as they keep executing. I don't know if he's going to play. Rumblings are he's already made calls to New York, and he's sick of Steve Kerr. But Steve Kerr's being able to make that, it's like a fast break triangle, which is amazing. People got to watch that game. Like, that came from Phil Jackson, and Steve Kerr was obviously product of Phil Jackson, and Toronto finally won. So Drake's happy tonight. He'll probably release another song. And he's trying to coach and shit. Like, he knows how to play basketball. So it's phenomenal to see him on TV. So I want to go back to the Bulls though, and switch gears a little here. We got a couple more minutes. You know, I'm just asking you, would you do this? Like, this is what I'm trying to get at. Would you do two things, right? I'm going to give you three equations. You tell me which one's better. You trade the 7th pick straight up for Lonzo Ball, which is obviously, I don't know if the Lakers want that, but they could package that in the 4th pick, maybe move themselves up to the 3rd pick or the 2nd pick or another assets to get Anthony Davis. I don't know, but you get the 7th. Pick and the 4th pick and give up Ball, because Ball is more of like a, just imagine this, Ball and the Bulls. Okay. You got Zach LaVine, who can't play defense. He's the worst defender in the whole league, but he loves to run transition. You got marketing. You got Wendell Carter. So now you're moving the ball and you're going fast, right? And one thing is Lonzo could do that. Okay. Chris Dunn, you know, could be a great practice player, good backup. I always thought Chris Dunn would be a great backup. But what do you think about Lonzo coming to the Bulls? You think that would be pretty decent or what?
Yeah, you know, I'm a big Lonzo fan in regards, because he's a pass-first point guard. He's looking to make other players better. I mean, the knock is, can he stay healthy, right? I mean, that's been the only issue that we've seen. When he is healthy, he was productive on the Lakers, right? I mean, you know, when Rondo was on there, he was coming off the bench from there. But I'm a big fan of Lonzo Ball, him at UCLA. He would definitely he'd be a good fit in Chicago. Now, again, do you get those pieces around him so that he can push those balls and throw those outlets to where those other athletes like Zach LaVine, who can at least dunk and get to the basket? I think that's a good fit. My only thing else that the Bulls need to do when they do draft picks, they don't need to send Horace Grant. They need to get like Dan Bilzerian and have him sit there for them and see if they can get a pull for a pick, bro.
Okay, yeah, and I agree. But did you notice this? And this is a true story. And I'm not trying to hate on, because Horace Grant was, hey, great bull, three-peat, appreciate it. And then you went to Orlando, your jack off. But did you see when he was trying to shine his ring, how small it looked comparison to the rings they get now? Did you notice that? Were you like, damn, bro, I'm sorry.
Yeah, they had some different.
Dude, I know the economy was different, but he's trying to flash his little ring. It's like, dude, are you kidding me? Like, your ring looks so small. It's just like, if you rewind and look at that, it's like, I mean, I don't know. We're selling Horace Grant. I mean, I think that's cool, but probably half the crowd and half the guys don't even know who the hell Horace Grant is when they're, you know, all these kids are trying to get drafted. I don't know. I believe in, you got to, yeah, exactly. Don't sell John Paxson. People hate him. Garth Foreman, trash. So, no, I was just thinking the Bulls, obviously it's been reported that maybe the Bulls would be interested in ball and whatnot, and they're worried about his dad. But, dude, get his dad over here. I don't mind if his dad beefs with Paxson, I don't give a shit. Draft his brother, too. I really don't care. The Bulls can't get any worse, and apparently they're not even good at being bad. But I think the Bulls, based on the payroll, and I don't know how cheap you know, the Bulls are, obviously they're very cheap, but I mean, the payroll for next year is $81 million. So $81 million, I mean, so they probably can get, you know, I don't know if they can get another max player, because I don't know how all this BS works, but I would imagine they could. So, you know, I don't know if they go after, I would go after every single player. I'd give them like, I would give every single player, but you got to look at like a guy that might not get full max potential, right? So does the kid, the point guard, Malcolm from Milwaukee, does he get a max? He's a restricted guard. He's out of Virginia. He's played pretty well. I mean, do you overpay for him? Or do you just, I mean, I would imagine Russell from the Nets. I heard Kyrie might be going there, but Russell, do you just maximize him, right? Do you max him? Would you give the max to Russell? I know it's not the max the Nets can match, but maybe you do a sign and trade with the 7th pick. I don't give a shit about the 7th pick. And then you get Russell as your point guard. Don't be cheating on your girl, because he'll tell on you. But outside of that, Duke and ball.
I mean, D'Angelo's nice. I mean, he's definitely a, you got to have a pick and roll guy with him. Like, he is obviously a 3-point shooter, can get to the basket, is a good passer, right? And so he definitely is a piece right now. Him and Lonzo, right, are two different players. And so, again, you're getting somebody that would be more of a, I don't want to say shoot first.
Oh, he shoots first.
He's definitely going to be a predominant shooter as a point guard. So, but he's definitely a good pick. Now, do I pick him over Lonzo? I guess it all depends who, what other pieces that you're trying to build, right?
Yeah.
I just don't know they're going to get athletic guards after you get Russell to fill the lane, compared if you get Lonzo, you go after other max out type guy that can be successful for him.
Yeah, or you just go after, like, I mean, Kembo, can you get Kembo? I mean, maybe you just max him. I just go after it, max some of these players. I don't know. Bradley Beal, I don't give a shit that they play. People are always worried about overlapping in positions. I don't think it matters in today's NBA. I mean, obviously, if you watched the game, Houston Golden State, which was pretty much the NBA Finals, let's be real. You had the kid with all the Jordans, PJ Tucker. He was playing center. So you don't need necessarily the traditional setup. Now, if you can provide that, that's cool, because we have Wendell Carter. We have Markkanen. Markkanen could be the pick and roll guy, because he can shoot the three with Russell. But, I mean, I just say you've got to get another name. You got to get someone else that's good. Stop trying to suck, because you're not even good at that. In today's, you know, lottery, it's just all weird. But anyways, you know, first and foremost, I want to thank everyone that listened today. You know, Unc, you always been, you know, you have the greatest stories ever. And, you know, you've been through, you know, from killing people in golf still to, you know, sharing the Tiger Woods stories with the public, you know, and giving your basketball knowledge. I know this is the first time, but not the last time you'll be on the Mouth podcast, but, you know, I appreciate your time. Toronto did win, for those, I already announced that, but, you know, just so you know, Drake will be throwing a party in Toronto. So if you're in Toronto, shout out to Drake. He'll probably be picking up Bush Lights for everybody. And so appreciate that. But Unc, any final words, man, or outside of that, you know, it's going to be a good off season. I mean, obviously your prediction to win the NBA Finals would be.
Yeah, I'm going with I'm still going with Golden State. I think they win in seven games. I'm saying they're going to play the Bucks.
You think it's going seven games?
Yeah, I think it's going seven games. I think wow. Milwaukee's definitely got some talent, length. Kind of a lot reminds me of the OKC team that almost beat them. I mean, young, just a lot of good athletes. So we'll see about that. But, yeah, like, again, Tiger Woods, unbelievable experience. He's a great champion, like any athlete, right? You got women throwing him. So I don't want to make sure, like, Tiger Woods was some other than who he was. He's a phenomenal person. You know, he just learned in life like all of us do. And but, yeah, man, hey, TGZ. Yeah, I met Tim playing hoops at the rec, getting balls, buckets, Buffalo Wild Wings connected again. So been pretty crazy to see a relationship that's went on for, gosh, now 14 years. I think we've known each other. Time flies in that. But, yeah, to all the listeners, continue to listen. Tim's got good topics all the time, man. So it was a pleasure to be on.
Yeah, and we'll, if the NBA Finals turns out to that, I'll definitely – we'll preview that, give a little preview. But I appreciate that, my man. Hey, we'll be in touch, and thanks for joining the mouth today.
See you guys. Peace.
Peace.